are listening live to the program. Your teams, your town, your program.
Off the end of the bat, Kiner Falefa with an off-balance throw, and Guerrero just missed it. And here comes Massey, and the Royals get a huge break.
He missed it like he didn't see it.
Line, fair ball. The game is tied. Garcia to third. He's being waved home. And the Royals have taken the lead. And Bichette hits a ground ball to Garcia. And the Royals even the series at one.
And now, looking around the Hen House Deli for a fresh Kiner Falefa, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Did that come to you last second when I
it did because
said easy for you to say, Ryan, as we were listening to the highlights? Or, did you have that planned already?
No, I had, and now already halfway through a new bottle of honey.
Yeah.
And then I heard, I'll just say, looking for the Hen House Deli for a fresh Kiner Falefa. They're so good.
Yeah.
Nice.
If you get them warm.
Oh. Hard to beat it.
Kiner Falefa.
Tasty.
I like them in the morning.
Yes.
That's when I think they're best. It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are at Hen House. I do have honey.
Yes.
Tommy Moe came by.
How about that?
What a saint. I'm going to take a little swig.
He knows the stuff. That's the great. That's Cooper's. That's my brand. Top shelf clove honey.
He went over, grabbed some honey, bought it, and brought it to me. There it is.
Yep.
How about, what a guy.
That's a great thing for a scratchy.
What a guy.
Good thing for voice preservation.
Our friend Eric Eager may not like Tommy
because
Tommy rides him relentlessly on our podcast.
That's Tommy, though.
But that's just Tommy.
Yes.
You know, it's just how he is. Heart, big as him.
He didn't have a low gear.
No. And it brought me the honey.
Yep.
So thank you, Tommy.
That's the Raytown in Tommy that brought you the honey.
Is that what that is?
That's Raytown.
It's Raytown, compassion,
Raytown,
kindness.
Compassion. Yep, yep. It's a dying breed.
Found only in Raytown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Only to be found in Raytown North. Raytown proper, not Raytown South.
Oh, that's the we don't talk to those.
No. No, it's fine.
Whole different kind of
it was,
crew.
A rivalry when we were in school. It really isn't anymore.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
Everyone's friends with everyone.
It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are at Hen House. Thank you for joining us here on a beautiful Wednesday. Better enjoy it because, as I understand it, the apocalypse descends upon us tomorrow.
Really?
Have you heard about this?
Let me check.
I got a weather alert. I expect everybody to get to Hen House, stock up because you cannot leave your house for 4 days. Thunderstorms, hail, tornadoes.
Oh, wow.
It's all this lady right here said, that's right.
She is.
Get the big cart, man. Get a second cart. You will not be able to leave for days.
Are they selling two of each animal at Hen House?
Yes, they are.
They are. They may. They may.
Well, it doesn't look that bad. 61, rough tomorrow, then 74 on Friday, 79.
You need to read the special insert.
The special insert, yes.
I got an alert. Hail.
Hail.
Thunderstorms. Wind. Tornadoes.
Stock up now.
They're like, every day they're like, okay, let me describe where it is. And it's kind of this southwest to northeast from like Texas up to, you know, Chicago type of thing.
Yep.
Every day through Sunday, right in the middle of it, Kansas City.
What happens when you live near the jet stream?
We haven't had tornadoes for years.
It's been a little while.
Lezak was still working when we had our first tornado. We haven't had a tornado warning.
That goes back a ways.
Right? Or a tornado watch. Is that what it was? We had like some like microburst happen 3 or 4 years ago, but there was no watch. It just happened. So we haven't been under a tornado watch. So there's a strong chance that happens.
And watch is
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Ripe. Warning is we've seen one, right?
Yes.
If someone showed a watch and it was all the ingredients for tacos, and then the warning is like the taco, I'm like, that's perfect. Lettuce, ground beef, Jesus. Tornado watch, tornado warning.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
All right.
I thought, I just want tacos now. That was my big takeaway was I need like four tacos.
You tubagoo.
I love tacos.
I like tacos too. We got Peter Vermees coming up later this hour. We've got Todd Liebo.
I like Liebo.
Liebo, that works too. He'll be here in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll We'll play the feud. Somebody will win a Hen House gift card. So make plans to join us then. Frank Bowl in the 4 o'clock hour, and then in the 5, Gabe DeArmond.
Yes,
we're gonna put it to Gabe. What is success for Laird Veach?
What is it?
Find out.
We've put our stamp on it.
Gabe DeArmond will answer said question.
And many others.
Yes.
Like how many, Frank opinions, how many MU players will go in the draft this week?
Ooh. Seven?
Seven would be beyond, I think, where they can get.
What are our options?
3, 4, 5, and 6 in Frank opinions. I think this, I put 3 just to see how many people would say 3, but I think it's an absolute bare bones minimum of 4.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Our resident Mizzou expert, Curtis Siebold, has weighed in. There it is. If you want experts, get to the butcher block here at your neighborhood hen house. They're experts when it comes to beef, when it comes to chicken, when it comes to seafood. And there's always specials each and every week. If you go to henhouse.com, you can find them, like boneless ribeye steaks. Yes, of course, we're talking certified Hereford beef. USDA choice certified Hereford beef. The only place you can get it is here at your neighborhood hen house. 12 ounces for those boneless ribeyes, just $12 each, or choose your own size. $15.69 a pound. Pork baby back ribs, they're sold in Cryovac, just $2.99 a pound. You want to smoke some ribs this weekend, Curtis?
Absolutely.
How about the seafood side of things? IQF Wild Yellowfin Tuna Steaks, 9 ounces, just $7 each.
Dig it.
I love it. I love the tuna steaks.
Wait, $7?
$7.
Holy cow.
So come check it out right now. If you want to go to the bakery, the Tippins Pie by the Slice sale is going on. Get a slice of key lime, cherry, French silk, or apple pie for just $3.49. You want to have a great meal this weekend. Finish it off with a Tippins Pie. They're sold exclusively here at Hen House. You can get a whole Tippins Strawberry Pie for just $18.99. Don't forget to go to henhouse.com and sign up for their weekly ads. One email each week, you get all the ads. All the ads I tell you, they're on that email. So it's perfect. Every time I walk into Hen House, if I'm going to do some shopping, just open up my email, boom, there's all the ads. You can go to henhouse.com and see them as well, but all the specials are right there on one ad. One email will be, Curtis.
One.
Not the 500.
Yes.
That you pepper people with.
Yes.
One.
Yes.
One email.
And if we told you all the specials that were in the ad each week, it would take up the whole show, so you're just getting a taste. You sign up for that email, you're getting all of them.
You get all of them.
They are, and they are not lacking each week.
There's all kinds of them.
Yeah.
So we'd love to see you here at Hen House. We'll be here until 6 o'clock, so stop on by. Stock up for the weekend whenever that might be. Of course, I'll get the NFL draft coming your way tomorrow. We're going to talk about that here a little bit later on. But let's start with some Royals baseball. Boys in blue win. And do we have time? Is it time, I guess I should say, to have a real live baseball discussion?
I think it might be.
Like, if you're buying that they're in contention. Because I think it's easy to look at last night's game and go, well, the Jays made an error. They made a mistake, so that's all this is about. They made a mistake, and, the Royals managed to get it. Well, don't you remember Greasy Wins?
Yes.
A term coined by one Danny Klingscale when in 14 we were all still not really quite yet ready to believe that the team was a contender and they were winning, but it's like, they've got all these greasy wins. The other team makes an error late in the game. The Royals end up winning because the other team makes an error. We're like, oh, my God, this is like they just keep giving it to the Royals. This is too good to be true. This can't continue.
Yep.
And then we realize this is what it looks like when you're a good team. You don't make all those silly mistakes. You don't make all those silly errors, right? And then when the other team does, you play quality baseball. You capitalize on it. That's what we got from the Jays.
Yes.
Let's see it.
Just one more time to look at the...
Just the joy. Dope. I mean, literally.
And Ryan was being kind last night. Felt that maybe he lost it in the video display on the Royals Hall of Fame. Maybe.
I suppose.
That ball just went right past him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the first throw that's come to the first baseman from that angle. That's the first time I've seen a Major League first baseman drop a ball like that on the kind of play where if it happened on your D-League softball team, you'd be like, dude. catch the ball.
Brian, you mutt.
Yes.
You have one job.
Catch the ball.
We don't even expect you to pick it when somebody short hops. Just catch the ones in the air, you
yes.
boob. Vlad Guerrero, let's be honest, his natural position is hitter, though.
That's true.
It is not first base.
No, it is not.
They are clearly hiding the fat kid at first.
Right.
Because he has no other spot that he could possibly play.
Fortunately for them, he's also got a 681 OPS, so he's not fielding or hitting.
He plays the position well.
He does.
Hitter. I want to point something out, though. This is a game that the Royals entered, what, having lost 4 or 5 and 3 in a row?
Yep, 3 in a row, 4 or 5.
They would obviously lose the series to the Jays, no matter what happens today, if they lost that game. And
it's a four-gamer.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
okay.
It's tonight and then tomorrow.
They'd have lost the ability to win.
Lost the ability. Yeah, they'd know better than a split, and they'd have to win the last two if they lost.
And so it was a game where is it an important game? Like, well, it's not the one that clinches the playoffs. No, but for a team that we all said needs to get off to a good start, you don't need a prolonged slump to erase what has been said good start.
And they had just lost for the first time, they'd lost 3 straight. So they were in a spot going into a game that they have not been all year.
Kyle Isbell homered because I dropped him.
Of course.
So, mwah, you're welcome, everybody. Dropped him from my fantasy team. He immediately homers.
Off the foul pole.
God. Isbell homers, Garcia homers. It's a nice night, right? They get to, or am I looking at?
That's
yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. For the bats. Salvi, I was like, I thought there was doubles. Bobby Witt has 8 double. Fraser, a double. Perez, a double. Not a lot with the bats, but you look at it, you go, okay, well, basically it all came from this error.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you look at it and go, well, not a great night from Waka. He only went 4 1/3 and gave up 2. You're right. He didn't go 1 1/3.
No.
He went 4 1/3 and he needed 96 pitches to do it. But what I would point to is he faced 24 batters, which meant that the bottom third of the order was up when they took him out. Right? He came out in the inning with 1 out in the 5th inning, and the Royals trailing 1-0.
1-0. Bases loaded.
And was he taken out for pitch count? Like, okay, he's going to go over 100. I'm not letting him go over 100. I'm going to go get him. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe he was. I'm sure that was a factor. Or was this Matt Quatrero said, I'm not losing this game, and I can't let any more get in. Now they go to Stratton. He gives up the sack fly. Another run comes home. They get out of the inning just 2-0 down.
Yes.
That's he knew about how much they could lose. And don't you – I feel like – I don't want to put words in anybody else's mouth, but I feel like Ned Yost stays with Waka.
I could see that, yeah.
Ned likes to get a starting pitcher a win. I mean, that was one of our constant complaints. Was Ned Yost staying with the starter seemingly to give him a chance to get the win?
Yep.
And
too much deference to the veterans.
Yeah, to the veterans and to the
and
starter.
To the starting pitcher. Yeah.
And to 1986's way of playing baseball.
Right. Right.
Now, Ned's a Royals Hall of Famer, and rightfully so. He did many, many more things right than wrong. But that was our constant pet peeve with Ned Yost, was that he seemed to manage for the starter's win category. Not with Matt Quatrero.
Nope.
Don't care.
Nope.
The game is now. Yeah. I see the moment as right now. We must stop the bleeding here. He went to the bullpen. And even then, he didn't just keep firing then. He didn't just stop firing and go, okay, Stratton, now you got to go long so I don't burn up my bullpen. No. When he got to the 8th, he brought MacArthur in, and he stayed with him all the way to the end. Now, MacArthur was very pitch efficient and needed only 20 pitches to get through 2 innings, which is great work for a starter. It's usually not how relievers work.
No.
They tend to be more high-pitch guys per inning.
And that was after Schreiber came in the 7th and went 1-2-3 on 14 pitches. It'd been very easy to go, I'm going to get one more out of Schreiber, and then I'll go to my closer, and then we're still up 3-2. I want my guy right now. He went and put him in the 8th inning.
And to me, like the whole thing, you last said, was Quatrero really the guy? Who knows? He's working with nothing. This year, he's been given something to work with. And I want to point out, yes, there was an error by the Blue Jays. Yes, they had some timely hitting. Yes, the bullpen was very good. But the guy calling the shots called him at the right time.
Yep.
And I think he's been pretty good at that all year long. So I think last night's game, certainly the bullpen deserves a lot of credit for coming in. Michael Wacha on not his best day, being able to at least get through four and a third. So, you didn't need the, just a couple of days after Cole Reagans was only able to, get through one and two thirds. They were able to, leave guys, not need the whole armada to come in and get them through it. But, Matt Quatrero said this is the moment. The time is now. Yes, perhaps it's as simple as 96 pitches. I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
And this is real baseball. They have a real team that has real options and has a manager that can then make decisions on what he wants to do and can actually, go out and make something happen.
And he did that knowing that he's got a guy going tonight who's not necessarily known for going deep in the game in Alec Marsh, and he's got a game on tomorrow afternoon as well. So he knows my bullpen isn't getting a day off for another week. But I got to win this one. I cannot let this continue. I've got to stop this right now. This is my shot. The way my offense is not scoring in many runs, 1-0, maybe 2-0. I think that was the idea. Let's bring Chris Stratton in. If they get a run, fine. 2-0, I can work with that. With as many number of base runners as they have, the Jays stranded 7 guys in the first 4 innings, and they would strand 2 more in the fifth. We're about as good a situation as we can be. It was amazing to me sitting there watching a game. When they got to the end of the five, I'm like, I can't believe it's 2-0. They were actually in a game they probably shouldn't have been in. He's like, we can't let this one get away. We've been given something of a gift. Our pitcher has battled his ass off to keep it where it is. My team can't get 4 tonight.
Now
they can't get 5. We can get 3. And they came back and they got 3. I think he made that move at the exact right time.
We're banging our cymbals
because
it worked.
You're right.
Right? So there may be a time where he makes that move.
Yeah.
One reliever after another gets pounded. They end up going through 6 relievers, and they lose the game. And we're like, listen, you got to let it go, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes live to fight another day.
Yeah.
But last night, he saw a moment. He stopped the bleeding on a losing streak or a losing skid of 3 in a row and gives him a chance to win or push the series. Pretty good.
Got hit at the right time. Made some key defensive plays. Vinny at first, and then MJ Melendez. I don't know where he turned into Alex Gordon in left field, but he made another one last night.
Yep.
I've never seen anybody improve more defensively from one season to the next.
Well, and let's. I think a lot of credit goes to the organization.
Sure.
Because I laughed about his frying pan out there, and he had been given no time. Listen, let me still be critical. Why are you just getting around to this now?
Right.
You got to figure out, is he a catcher, an outfielder before he gets to the big leagues? Mm-hmm. I stand by that. That's still a fundamental mistake that was made by the previous regime. Whatever role J.J. Piccolo played in that, that is still a mistake. But let's give them credit. They said, we're going to let him focus on being an outfielder. We think he can be an outfielder. He looks like an outfielder.
Glove it and can throw it. He looks great out there.
Yeah, he's made some big plays for this team. 913-3810-810. I want to talk some NFL draft as well today. Got a lot to get to. Busy program. You can grab a phone line right now. 913-3810-810. You can grab a slice of key lime pie, cherry pie, French silk, apple pie. Of course, I'm talking about Tippin's pie. It's for sale by the slice right now back in the bakery. It's just $3.49 for a slice of that Tippin's pie. Get it right now at your neighborhood Hen House. Find all the specials and more at Hen House. .com. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Curtis Siebelt here with me at Hen House, 11721 ROAB. If you want to GPS it, come on down and take advantage of great specials. You can find all the specials at henhouse.com. Back at the meat counter, the USDA Church Certified Hereford Beef Boneless Ribeye Steaks, 12 ounces are just $12 each, or choose your own size for $15.69 a pound. So get them today. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Be a good idea.
It will be an excellent idea.
Royals win.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited.
I think so.
Right? The question is, do they stem the tide or do they just get lucky? I like everything they did, but do they just get lucky? They're a good team. They play fundamental baseball, so they took advantage of it. I'm not trying to minimize it, but do you... Onward and upward. You were mentioning talking to Bobby Witt last night.
Yeah, he didn't seem to. He got the question I was asking, but you know,
wasn't going to play ball.
Just wasn't going to play ball with it.
With your petty premise.
Yeah, I thought, is that a bad question? I asked him. I said, a year ago, to be more specific, how much does the fact that you've won a lot of games this year, does that make you feel more confident that a three-game losing streak isn't going to bury and you can come out and win? And he said something along, yeah, it's always better when you win, but I think there's something to that. I also think there's something to the fact that the core elements of that win last night were, one, a veteran pitcher who has gotten out of jams before getting out of jams, some bullpen guys who have gotten out of jams before helping them out, and the big hit of the game was Bobby Witt Jr. getting a two-run double down one to put his team ahead. The sources of the win were not surprising sources. So that's why I think that's more of a feature than a bug that they're going to be able to win games like that. A feature than just a kind of out of nowhere.
But you asked Bobby Witt,
Does
the fact that you guys have been winning instill you with a sense of confidence?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You think that's part of why
you're
able to come back and win this game?
Yeah.
And he said what?
He said it's always better when you win. It's always great when you get a win.
So do you think
something
he didn't get the premise?
I don't.
Do you think he's not going to even entertain anything?
I don't think he's going to entertain anything. I don't think he. I think he got the question. I just don't think he wanted to get into that part of it. I think he just wanted to say, yeah, it's great when you win. And just kind of left it at that, because I think a lot of his answers are along that line. I don't think he's wants to dig too deeply into that. I think I'm here to play baseball. I'm here to get hits with men on base.
But you're there to get information about it.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily has to give it to you.
Right.
But, I mean, what I'm curious is he oblivious to pressure? He doesn't recognize it?
Mm.
Is he... does he not like the? He's affable. He's not a bad guy, but he doesn't want any part of the media part of his gig, and he just wants to get it over as fast as possible.
Yeah, I think that's some of it. Even last year, he didn't seem to. There didn't seem to be any times where you would watch him play and think, "Man, he's really getting beaten down by the losses." I don't think he could. And he's was in a position where. If someone was going to be that way, it'd be him, because he was viewed as the savior. You're going to save this team when they're losing on a track. You know, it was 106 games. That's the kind of person who you think would start to show signs of that weight, and he never really did. And I don't know if it's just because he's been around it and he understands it, and he's, you know, from his life, he's always had the pressure of being the son of a major leaguer and been the best player on his team, and so he's just used to that kind of situation. He probably isn't used to the losing he had a year ago. I'm sure at lower levels, the teams were always pretty good. But I just think he says, I'm here to play baseball and win games, and I don't really want to think it. The other stuff just doesn't impact me. I don't think he really considers that part of the game yet. And that may will either make him be, once they get into games where they're in the postseason, that might make him a terrific postseason hitter, because he will not buckle to that. Now, Reggie Jackson used to always say that when he was talking about a player who just said, I'm just going to play this like another game in a postseason game, he goes, I don't really like that. I want a guy who knows what's at stake and that it's important. You want a little bit of that, hey, this is game seven or whatever, to understand the importance. So there's a fine line between recognizing the importance and playing with that sense of urgency and not letting it overwhelm you. So I think he seems like he has the kind of temperament to where he can ride that kind of knife edge and apply whatever level of urgency is required. And right now I think he's like, yeah, we're winning. But I don't think he would have thought winning last night's game was any tougher a year ago than it was this year. To work my way around to the point, I think he just thinks, regardless of what's behind us, I go on the field thinking we're going to win. And the fact that we were 12-6 before this little skid, if we were 6-12, he would have still felt the same way about last night's game as he did last night, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I think he's a guy... I do think he's somewhat oblivious to pressure.
Yeah.
But I also think he... I don't think he wants any part of the stardom. right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And sure. Everything that comes with it? I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see when he, like, goes to an All-Star game and when he's on a national. Like, if they
probably
win.
Probably going to happen this year.
Yeah, and he has to play on the national stage. Yep. I think that's going to be interesting. All right, let's take a break. We want to get to Peter Vermees. Draw with St. Louis last weekend. We'll talk to Peter. Big match with Minnesota this weekend. Let's talk to Peter Vermees, the manager and sporting director for Sporting Kansas City. Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB's Red Petro with you. Let's talk soccer. Peter Vermees is with us. Our coverage of Sporting Kansas City, always brought to you by Corona, Corona Light, and Corona Premier. If the beach bod is what you're looking for, the Corona Premier, less carbs, less calories, get it wherever you buy your Coronas. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm good, but you got a frog in your throat, bro.
I do. It's that time of year where I battle the voice for a lot of different factors. So thank you for noticing and pointing it out, though. I appreciate it.
So it's not a cold. It's just you're talking too much.
I think we're deciding allergies contributes to it. And that's part of the problem as well. Yes, talking too much. It gets better and worse during the day. You're catching me in a bad spot. So, but thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. Appreciate okay. the concern. Let's talk a little bit about the match with St. Louis. First of all, the atmosphere. Let's start with that. The rivalry is clearly already in full force.
I think what was great was coming off of the Arrowhead game with that crowd and then coming right back to our facility with that crowd. I think that was great. I love to play games like that those kind of games every week, like where it's just – you know, it's everything. It's on the line. It's great intensity, great competitiveness. Those games are awesome. So the environment, our environment was awesome.
It was a great environment. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the end?
Whatever you want.
Let's start with the last goal. Just bad luck that you have Daniel Salwee hustling back and he's trying to break up a play and the ball just happens to put right out in front of one of their attacking players, or does something need to be played differently?
No, I think you look. We were definitely in the like positionally, we're all where we needed to be. Everything was right. When Daniel comes inside to win the ball, you know, he clears it and it goes to their guy. Normally, that guy's probably inside, but you know, Tim tries to make a play on the ball. Kenny, there's a lot of little things that could have happened, but our guys, again, you can always break down. It's like anything. You can always break down something and say, hey, these are all the things that we could have done differently. But this is one of those things where, hey, look, it just happened at the end of the game. And unfortunately, it gets magnified because, you know, the question keeps coming out. Can you guys close a game? Of course we can close a game. But, you know, this is what happens in our game sometimes. And this is why, you know, players – you know, teams have to be strong mentally because you have to be able to fight through situations like this in a game. Last year, look at this time, 9 games, we had 3 goals. This year, we have 17 goals scored. So, but we're not talking about that, right? And what we're talking about is we're talking about the fact that, hey, we've you know, people want to say we've given up points at home. Well, we gave them a lot more points at home last year and we gave them more points on the road. I think when you look at our team, the identity is actually really good. The style of play is there. The players that come into the team all have a really good idea about their responsibilities to not only to their position, but to the way we play. Our danger going to goal, like our effectiveness going to goal has been tremendous. And I would also say in the regular run of play in games, our defending has been very good, not average, very good, like above average has been really good. It's been on transitional moments where we've broken down, and you know that is something that we're working on. But outside of that, I think we've been very good. Look at the other night. We scored a great goal through the run of play, great build up, the first goal. We've scored on a free kick. You know, we score on free kicks and then we score, you know, and I'm not talking about just this game, but we scored on free kicks. We scored through the run of play. We scored on balls turned over, balls in behind. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. We've done all that. We just need to find a little bit of the other piece. And when we do, I think we'll be flying.
immediately after the match or in the days since? Were guys hanging their heads?
I don't think hanging their heads. I think they're just pissed. You know, they want the 3 points. They know they know that they climb back into the game and play very well in the second half to own that game. So I think it's more of that. It's more of pissed.
All right, so let's go to a couple of the other goals. One, Agata's de-cleated on a shoulder-to-shoulder hit before their first goal. Or I guess that was the second goal. That is legal in your mind?
I will only say it this way. The unfortunate thing is that if that consistency of those call of that call would have been throughout the game, then there's nothing anybody can say. But then when you call other calls where a guy just gets touched and now he falls down and you call that, it's inconsistency. That's where I would say. He wants to let that go, then he has set the standard. Not right? He referees the game. The refs they're the ones who set the standard of what he's going to allow or not allow. At that point, if that's what you're allowing, then you got to let it go. Then you got to let things go. The fact that Jake got a yellow card on his foul for all the other things that had occurred, for the late challenges, guys afterwards hitting, got like it's that's the problem with it. It's the inconsistency.
And Daniel Shalvey, that's why he got a yellow. He was upset.
Right, but he doesn't get the call. So I think he probably got his for dissent, probably talking to the ref. But again, like if you're setting this, like I said, if you're making all your calls that way, great, no problem. Everybody's going to play that way. But when all of a sudden, then one of the other guys falls and you give him a call, then now that's when the game just starts to get out of hand.
On the broadcast, they made a point that he had possession of the ball, and that's why it should be different. The shoulder to shoulder, we get it. Two guys going for a loose ball is one thing, but a guy had, you know, taken possession of the ball, so he should have some protection. You see it that way?
Yeah, I do. I don't think it was shoulder to shoulder. I think he got him a little bit more to the front side. Just like I think on the first goal, I think that's not shoulder to shoulder because he actually hits him in the backside. It's truly normally the way and they're right on what they said on the second goal, right? Normally the way it happens is a ball, imagine you and I, a ball gets played into space between us and it's what we call a 50-50 ball. And we're both running for it. That's where you go shoulder to shoulder. It's like when two guys are running to a ball. In that situation, he had it. And he was turning a field, and he gets hit. It was like a football tackle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's blown up. I mean.
Yeah, he was. But like I said, I if that's what the standard he wants it to be, I'm okay with that. But then just make sure that all the other calls are within that standard, right, that same level. But that's not what occurred.
And St. Louis gained possession of the ball on their first goal with a similar type tackle over on the sideline.
On Tim Leibold. That's and that one was from, instead of that being in the front, that was in the back. It was, again, it's not shoulder to shoulder. This is my point. Again, if you're gonna make those calls, great. If that's the way you want the game to be played, because everybody will play that way, and now all of a sudden, but then you don't have that consistently through the game. That's where the issue is.
Let's talk about the positive. Agata and Polito. Just brilliance in hooking up for the first goal. I feel comfortable. We're seeing how that's now starting to fit together and the two of those guys working together and what that can be.
Yeah, I think, look, I said this before. I think we have a lot of different weapons within our group. I think sometimes also when you change, you know, just a little bit of the formation or whatever, there are some there's some feeling out time that is needed. I think what they're doing is you can see even in that goal, they're not like this. They're more connected in the spaces that they're on the field. They had a lot more combination play on this in this game than other games. And that's because, you know, we've been working on that with them, and we've been talking to them about that, where, you know, talking about Willie, how when Allen gets the ball, you know, what his movements should be when Allen has the ball in certain areas at his feet, like what his movement should be off that. And so, you know, that there was two things within, well, there's probably more than that. The first was the recognition between the two of them in the 1-2, but it was also the layoff that set it up. So there's a layoff, then Allen attacks. Willie puts himself in the position to sort of be the bumper, and they really draw the two players that are around them. They draw them into really good spots to take advantage of it, and then the execution of the passing, because it was the timing in front of each other. If it's a little bit behind you, now you slow the play up. I mean, it was great. And then the final piece was the obviously finish on goal was fantastic.
And Johnny Russell coming back, how does it all fit now?
Well, again, Johnny still has some ways to go with fitness. Look, the bottom line is he's a ways off of fitness. Yeah, you can go play a game, but can you play a game at the speed and tempo that you need to? He's not ready for that yet. Not even close to 90 minutes. Not even close. I would say he probably has 45 minutes in him at the moment. So it's going to be a build. And we also are going to have to start using our roster quite a bit, because we have Open Cup coming up. I mean, there's going to be midweek games. We got a lot of different things. So I need all those guys in form. I need them fit. I need them available. The good thing is that almost every guy's available at the moment.
We're talking to Peter Vermees here in the program. How about the Daniel Shalvey goal? Like, just effort, will. I mean, like, listen, the beautiful
heads
goal.
Up.
Yeah, the beautiful goal was the first one, and that's what every striker wants to have on their resume. But, you know, you got to, like, in hockey, the term is put some rubber on the goalie. Just, like, keep firing and see what you can get in there. And that, to me, is a point of pride as well.
Oh, I think it's a great goal, actually. It's a – like, we deserve that kind of goal for all of the other goals and chances that we've created in games. So it's not often either that goalkeeper makes a mistake like that. He's a great goalkeeper. I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's really, really good. And so Daniel, it's kind of a heads-up play on Daniel's side, because I really think Daniel's trying to put it over his head into the goal. But I think the great thing is that he thinks that he's probably trying to cross it and kind of was in between the two.
And a pretty good pass as well to get things going. Like, there was a number of good long passes, obviously, on the Eric Tommy goal. That pass was fantastic. Tommy does a great job finishing, but, you know, you feel good about the guys sending it forward and where they're at.
I do. It's something we talked about at halftime. We had talked about, you know, we got to play them behind them because they were trying to play high. And we could take advantage of that. And so we talked about that a lot at halftime. And I think there's two things. I think one is at that point in the game, the good thing is we had, Tommy had moved. We put him inside, which was really good too. We needed him inside just because I felt that it was a good place for him to be with his autonomy and instincts right now, that he really feels confident. But the finish was, I mean, it's a big time finish. Just stick it where he did. And like I said, I think that goalkeeper is really good. It's a fantastic finish with a lot of pressure coming from his right side, and him still stick it there was big time.
With the way he's playing and the success he's having, is he hot, or is this a testament to the guys around him doing their part to give him the chances?
I think it's a lot of different things. I think I've said this to you before. I think when I talk about the guys who have been the best professionals in our club, he's in amongst that group. His everyday preparation, the way he takes care of himself, it's second to none. So that's part of him. I would say, his quality is there. I think the I think he has made himself a lot more efficient in games. And then I think also that we've really found opportunities to play him to his strengths.
You know, he is – where is he best? Or is he just one of those guys that he's just a soccer player? You know, you can put him wherever and he's going to be effective.
When we brought him in, we knew that he could play in all five positions. He could play either wings. He could play center forward like a false nine, or he could play the two attacking midfielders. But the other thing is that I would say between Willy Agata, Alan Pulido, and Tommy, between those three, they can play – like you can interchange them in that 4-2-3-1 where one's a number nine center forward and the other one's the 10 underneath. You can interchange those three guys in those positions, what's actually good about the personnel that we have.
We're talking to Peter Vermees here in the program. I'll ask you this just because I had a bunch of people peppering me, the transfer window, right? People are excited. You before the season started, you said you do anticipate getting something done. Is that still the intention?
It is. I think the good thing is that we're actually fortunate that we didn't get anybody in this last window because of the new initiatives that have come out. Because they actually really benefit the fact that we don't have or we have a DP slot open. Because now we can make a determination, do we want to stay with two DPs and go to four youth U22 initiatives? We have flexibility, right? We could go get a DP, and if possible, we could turn one of our guys into a TAM guy, let's say, if the salary is workable, I guess, when we get there. But we could actually flip-flop it. Like we could go to 2 and 4, meaning two DPs and four U22s in the summer. We could go to three DPs and three 22s in the summer, and then flip-flop it in the primary window. So winter window. So we're really looking at the next two windows on what's the best way to use this based on some of our targets and who might be available and how we can get maybe stagger the two guys in the next two windows.
So whatever you do may not just be about what's best now. It's a combination play.
Six months from there. Yeah. It would be to take advantage of that because of these new rules. And like I say, we're one of the few teams at the moment. Now I would venture to say that some teams, they might be able to buy some guys down to open up one of those slots, maybe, but we don't, we're already there. We don't have to buy it down. So we save some money on that front as well.
But to confirm, you do anticipate something coming soon.
Our objective is to do that. Yes. In the summer window. Correct.
Okay. Tell me about Minnesota. They're up next. You enter a stretch of 4 out of 5 on the road. 4 out of those 5 in that mix are playoff teams. It's an important stretch on the schedule. It starts with Minnesota. What are the challenges?
Minnesota is hot right now. They go after it. They're going after it in regards to attack. They have a lot of the same players they had a year ago, but they're really pushing numbers forward. They've been very good in transition moments in games. And that's the part that we have to be better at. And so it's going to be a good matchup.
We're talking to Peter Vermees. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you suffer an orthopedic injury in everyday life or playing sports, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care, 435 and Knoll, NOP, weekdays 8 to 7, Saturdays 8 to 2. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics. I'll start you with this on Eric Tommy, the mustache. Good idea, bad idea.
Bad idea.
Yeah. I agree. For a lot of reasons. I agree. Will you watch the NFL draft at all?
No.
No? Not 1 minute.
I mean, I'll watch ESPN for all the updates. I'll see that.
Okay. Tell me, who was the biggest rival for you when you were a player? No matter where you played, like the way Kansas City and St. Louis becoming a rival. What was the biggest rivalry you took part in?
The last team that traded me. I wanted to crush him every time, and I did.
Okay. So the list was long.
No, our rival at that time when I was playing, it was Chicago. Because when we beat them that in 2000, because we beat them our first game of the season was against them. We won 4-2 at home. 4-2 or 4-3, I can't remember. But we won. I know we scored four, we won. And then we played them, obviously, in the final, and we beat them. And so after that, it became, all right, game's on. It was good. It was good.
All right, and finally, which goal do you appreciate more? The beauty of the first one with Agata and Polito, or just the relentlessness of the second one with Shallowy?
It's such a tough one to answer, but I would say I have to pick one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's great to see when all the stuff that we work on, but we score a lot of goals like that. So yeah, I would say the first one.
First one. There it is.
Yeah.
Peter, appreciate it. Best of luck with Minnesota. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Seren. Great talking to you, buddy.
All right, before Pascal Siakam, who was the last player to open the NBA playoffs with back-to-back games of 35 points and 10 rebounds? Brought to you by Good Sense.